The playoffs?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We played them the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were.
Listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
It's the All-Pro Bros Show. It's a sports show where we put you in the know of who are the bros and the misses, the losers, to those scared and winners, those in the game, to the set, to the match, alley oop, one for the crew. Every touchdown to bring you every virgin statistic. You caught up over, you missed it. You know the decisions, the opinions, the blow of the whistle, the flops, the fouls, and all of the issues. Every punch, every kick, every throw, every switch, every leap, every flip, every run, every twist. Stick it down in history. Each loss, each victory, those in the winner circle. To the losers bracket, Eddie Gretzky, Brady Ripken, Jordan and Magic. Whether it's a field goal or a shot in the basket, going for the gold or home runs, gonna talk that talk. Shoot with the pros, the All-Pro Bro Sports Show.
Yo, what's up, y'all? You are now tuned to another episode of the All-Pro Bro Sports Show. This is your homeboy, Triple.
Master Thomas. And 12 lawyer.
Yeah, of course you say you're his lawyer now. Of course you do. I bet.
I'm back on the. You know, I had to take a break. You know, when other personal interests conflict, I got to resign temporarily.
Yeah, with that 2-point win, you probably helped to negotiate. Yeah, I bet. So, all right.
But I was like, dang, that was closer than I thought. That kind of hurt to see as a Patriot fan, but yeah.
Well, let's backtrack to the beginning of week 4. We are now at week 5, officially at a quarter of the season, so we can dive into some more analysis and potential thoughts of playoffs and Super Bowl contenders. So let's start just with the scores real quick. I'm going to run through it. And then we'll jump back into some key games that were in week 4. So last Thursday was the Bengals and the Jaguars, which was a good game. The Bengals at 24 and the Jaguars at 21. There was a lot to talk about the Jaguars on the field and off the field. But off the field stuff, we will be polite. We're not going to be crazy with it. It's just some things to think about. But we'll get to that conversation in a second. Then this past Sunday, a lot of good games this past Sunday. You had the Cowboys winning in impressive fashion, 36-28 over the Panthers, who are now 3-1. You had the Browns beating the Vikings 14-7. A lot of people are wondering if the Vikings are even going to do anything well this season. We'll see. You had the Bears winning 24-14 over the Lions. Once again, it's the Lions, but yeah. Homeboy looked good at quarterback. There's plenty to break down with that. You had the Colts beating the Dolphins 27-17. The Chiefs finally got a win 42-30, which was a Colts game at first, but the Chiefs just took off in the second half. The Washington football team, aka the Ferocious W's, they defeated Dirty Bird Falcons 34-30. The Jets finally had a win in overtime. That was crazy, against the Titans 27-24 with the field goal win. Then you had the Cardinals with Kyler Murray doing his thing, still undefeated, defeating the Rams 37-20. You had the Seahawks had a much needed win over the 49ers 28-21, which was also a close game throughout. You had the Ravens who won 23-7 over the Broncos. The Steelers with a much needed win over the Packers 27-17. The Buccaneers, as you said before, they beat the Patriots 19-17, if I remember correctly. And the Raiders lost this past Monday to the Chargers with Derek Carr struggling. So let's start back to last Thursday. Good game overall. I want to know, what is your viewpoint of how the young buck Trevor Lawrence played last Thursday against the Bengals?
For what it was, I guess, you know, it was pretty decent. I mean, it looks pretty decent.
So, I mean, with his confidence being up, that was one thing we saw. He played more accurate. He was smiling. He was enjoying himself. He was having fun. Just like a lot of the jitters went away. And the Bengals aren't a team to sneeze at by any means. You know what I'm saying? So I'm impressed by the way they played, but unfortunately it still resulted in a loss by within 3 points at that. So the much closer game, which even in itself was a better game for the Jaguars. So here's the problem. Their coach, Urban Meyer, did not go home. He stayed behind, went to Ohio. You know, that's where his family restaurant was. And he was caught on camera, the 5 second clip, dancing with a particular fan that wasn't appropriate for a married man. So moral stuff is moral stuff. It is what it is. But it's a distraction to the team. You know what I'm saying? Especially given the fact you have Tim Tebow, who didn't work out at tight end. That was his boy from back in the day. And other stuff going on. I mean, what do the Jags do?
Yeah, that's a good question, because he has a history of, because back in the day with Ohio, even though he has won every place he's won in terms of college, Florida and Ohio, but people don't like the stigma of Urban Meyer for some reason, because just the way he moves, particularly, they feel he always has some shady characters within the organization, whether it's at Florida with the Aaron Hernandez stuff, and we all know what happened with that, especially being Pat fans, and that was sad ending for us, and we all know how that turned up. And then with Ohio, with somebody with a domestic abuse scandal, and that's why he had to leave then, and now he has this. Not saying he physically meant to take it further than was, but it's not a good look. With dancing, especially, you know, that with that type of clip, you know, that showing that on your jacket, you know, especially in 2021 where there's cameras everywhere, and you're a married person with a family, and also you're in the pros now. And yes, I would like to say an example as a leader of men, you know, as a head coach, but you're in the pros, so they're young men, but still, you still represent the head coach of the Jags organization, and it's still a bad look. And of course, it looked bad enough that they had to publicly, you know, quote unquote, reprimand you, you know, in some kind of way and say, hey, this is not good, da da da, because it's not good for business. I don't know how much they cared inside, who knows, but it didn't look good for business for them. So I'm not too sure if they were going to fire him. I mean, it doesn't look like they were going that direction. I don't think they should, but at the same time, they had to make a statement.
Yeah. This isn't a fireball offense, in my opinion. This is not a fireball offense. That's, once again, it's like, I get it, morals and ethics, especially with us, with what we believe and whatnot. You know, of course we believe in morals and ethics, but when it comes to business, that's when you have to kind of almost separate it. And this is why I learned in my years in the corporate world, not everything's about morals and ethics unless it begins to affect the bottom line. Does this affect the bottom line? No. Does it affect his reputation now being with the team and his ability to potentially lead? Like you were saying, it makes you question things, especially given his history, you know, and even those around him. That was his offensive coordinator thing from Ohio State he tried to cover up for.
Right.
With college, they'll take it a little bit more seriously because dealing with students, they're not paid. Even with the changes in NCAA, with allowing students to make some money in some ways off of their own likeness, jersey sales, gaming sales, stuff like that. But even still, you know, with students, most of them won't make the NFL. Most of them won't even go approach a career in the NFL. Right. So
just keeping it 100.
Yeah. So we'll see. So let's also talk about the Cowboys. They look very impressive against the Panthers. And I'm going to say it, we're a quarter way of the season. I remember you saying that two shows ago. Let's not really make any predictions until the quarter of the season. It's week 5. The Cowboys look like a playoff team. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, though. I mean, it's still, like I was saying then, it's still somewhat early, but a quarter of a season, you get a good deal of what the teams may be. And so far, it's, hate to say it, pains me to say it, but yeah, they look like that too. Now, things can still, and there's still quite some football, enough football left for them to collapse. We've seen that, seen those type of acts happen before, not just with them, but with any team. But you know, half a season, you get more information. When it's more than half after the trade deadline, yeah, you definitely the more it goes by, the more you know. Because they say you can't do a bulk of your judging until after Thanksgiving. So we're not close to Thanksgiving yet, but we have enough to show that they can trend towards the playoffs, considering they play on this pace.
But the Cowboys fans are giving thanks.
Yeah, I had some cowboy person say, "Oh yeah," because Hila was laughing at me because the Pats were 1-3, and then they were, while the Cowboys themselves are 3-1, they were like, "Ha ha ha! Worry about those Patriots, those bum behind Patriots." And I said, "Okay, we'll see when you collapse once again." And the Cowgirls collapse once again. I was going back at it. I said, "At least our rings are recent rings, not VH tape rings." VHS tape breaks from 95 and then older.
Dak looks confident. He looks focused on the field. He's accurate. He's aggressive. Even Ezekiel Elliott, he's doing well. His numbers aren't really high still for what he could do. You look at his stats from last week, or 2 weeks ago, but even he's playing better. And just the team overall is doing well. So,
yes, sir. So far, it's helping me very well. He's helped me very well on my fantasy team. So far, so good. You know, now they said he's questionable for the week coming up. So hopefully that changes again to healthy. True. As I make changes.
I already know I got to change my defense up to the Ravens because, the Rams didn't do so well.
I got to back up to Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh was slacking the last 2 weeks, but I guess they're okay enough, unless we'll see what else is on the defensive market. Because the thing is that they did real well for me the first week when I played you. That was the only game I've lost so far. The other three games that I won, the defense between Pittsburgh and then the Bengals last has been so-so. But Pittsburgh, I guess, they put up satisfactory numbers. I guess I'll stick with them for now as I'm making my other changes and keeping some other players. We'll see. But so far... Yeah, got to keep that winning streak going, baby.
Definitely talk about Chicago Bears. So, once again, it was against the Lions. It's like you're playing in a scrimmage. Not to be mean, it is what it is. But at the same time, they looked really good. Their quarterback, Justin Fields, looked really impressive. I know part of the reason they looked better, as it was confirmed, their offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor, called offensive plays during that win. Because if you notice in the highlights, I don't think they played the game here locally. He just looked way better, like running, throwing it, you know what I'm saying? The kind of running plays, the kind of slants, coming out the I formation. Just everything that Justin Fields was doing, it was like the plays were definitely designed for him. And along with that, I can say officially today, they're now changing the tune and they're now going to go with Justin Fields and not the other guy. I don't know if you heard that. It's made official.
Yeah, I think I heard some rumblings about that.
Yeah. So the Bears are finally waking up, and maybe they won't be the team we thought they were. We'll see what happens.
I wish you had that Dennis Green clip. Yeah, who we thought they were. Yeah, he passed away. He actually passed away 5 years ago, not a decade ago, as I thought last year. My bad.
Okay. Yeah, still, that's crazy. The Chiefs looked a lot better, and they needed a win because they were in danger of being 1-3 had they not put out this win against the Eagles. The Eagles looked hungry for it, especially in the first half, between Jalen Hurts. Doing really well, being aggressive. But I think Mahomes is starting to gain some wisdom, being in the league, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, but 17. Wait, he came in 17-8. And what was it? When he played the Pats in the AFC chip game, that was his, second year?
I thought he was a rookie.
Or was he a rookie? We could look that up. It's probably because he has at least 4 years, if not five. This could be his fourth year, or could be his fifth. It could be one of those two. I think when he played us, he might have been a rookie, and then second year he might have won in 19, going in 20, and then we know 2021 what happened, and then this is 21 going to 22. So this might be his fourth year.
But then again, but now if I'm not mistaken, if he didn't start in 17, if he did start in 17, it would be, oh, well, at least was on the bench. It would have been his fifth year. We can look that up.
Yeah. But nonetheless, Mahomes looked a lot better, more control over the field. It was like he's gaining that Mahomie rate he always talks about on the State Farm commercials. He's getting that rate back, you know, saying maybe Jake will change his mind.
He'll start. Yeah, because that rate looked to be slightly dipping for a couple weeks.
Just saying, nobody wants that rate for some sneakers if you ain't playing up to par, you know what I'm saying? But he looked a lot better. Defense, still suspect, but nonetheless, the offense still looks good. But it still begs the question, can their offense hold it down throughout the rest of the season? Because you need to be able to play well on all sides of the ball at the end of the day.
No, absolutely. And we've been saying that, like, I mean, even the Pats have been a victim of this in terms too, but mostly other teams, and that in terms of them winning Super Bowls, because they'll win Super Bowls and only win one time. Like the Pats, when we won, people say, oh, when Brady started here, he had a good defense. And like, so you expected him to win, like, you're going to discount his numbers of his Super Bowls because he had a good deal. And this is, like, only in the beginning, because the beginning dynasty, the three out of the six he won here before he won the other one in Tampa, making seven. He said, oh, he was a game manager on the first one. Now, if you look up the numbers, and even that, you saw some kind of greatness. The second and third one, and this was before they changed the rules to favor strictly offenses, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was still a defensive day. Google those numbers in the second and third Super Bowl he won. Those are pretty good numbers, especially for that time.
Exactly.
So don't punish him because the defense will get. Yes, if you want to sustainability in terms of winning consistently or being at least a contender, you should have, like you said, all sides of the ball working, offense, defense, and special teams. So at least that was one good thing about Belichick. A couple of things I appreciated about him earlier in his career before he started making some suspect moves lately. And, you know, and then the second part of the three out of the 41 or whatever out of the five, the defense were pretty decent as well. May have not been as great as the first one, but then, you know, obviously because that has to do with the rule change as well. But obviously we saw a lot more greatness in terms of his numbers. But it's still he had some kind of decent defense enough to sustain him to be a competitor those other years too. Now the years in between that he didn't win, the decade that he went to but didn't win, the defense was questionable. So that just proves to our point. And even the other teams that will win one time, but then you don't see them again, or you see them when they lose, because the defense is questionable. You have to, even though the quarterbacks could be all great as get out, but if the defense is questionable, your special teams, you know, you're not working on all three sides of the ball equally, you're not going to sustain. You could go to the playoffs, sure, but you're not going to be a Super Bowl contender consistently.
Yeah, especially if your offense is constantly beat up. Like, that was part of the Chiefs' loss. We talked about this last week, so no need to beat a dead horse, which is part of the reason they lost in the prior Super Bowl. Just, they were beat up, and they're chasing Mahomes everywhere, losing yards. It was embarrassing to watch. But we'll see.
Right.
We'll see. They're 2-2. I'm not going to say the Chiefs are back, but still a lot more football to see. You know what I'm saying? Real quick, the Bills 40-0 over the Texans. That's nuts. That's a beatdown. We don't need to discuss that. The Bills are already an impressive team. Yeah. Not surprised, but dang, son, why'd you do that? Quote the famous radio announcer. We're gonna save the Pats and Bucks. So that was the game of the week. I think everyone's beaten the Steelers over the Packers over the head enough already. And talking about Roethlisberger, I'm just tired of hearing about that because he's questionable for this week's game. We'll talk more about that in the injury report. But Raiders, real quick, some people are trying to say Derek Carr is washed up after one loss to the Chargers. I'm like, he lost one game to the Chargers. He got outplayed in the second half. Good game,
In the first half. The second half, they tried to come back, but it wasn't enough.
First half, they were getting whooped. I watched the game. Come on. Come on, Tony. they're getting whooped in the first half, but they like they were doing all season coming from behind to try to catch up, but it wasn't enough. Now they ended up losing 28-14. That's so problematic that they are a team that's constantly coming from behind just to try to win games. That's not good at all.
Yeah, that's definitely not good at all. And they've been doing it in all their victories, you know, win or loss.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the Raiders. The Raiders going forward is one loss to 3-1. Which, like I said before, that leaves only one undefeated team in the Cardinals. Now, we definitely got to talk about the game of the week, the Patriots versus the Buccaneers. There was definitely a lot surrounding this game, a lot of hype, a lot of history, a lot of statistics, you know what I'm saying, a lot of mystery bars, you know what I'm saying. It was all about the quarterback, the prodigal son coming back home to New England, Tom Brady versus the coach of the decade, the coach of best coach of all time. I don't know about that, but he is one of the greatest coaches of all time. In a battle of who's going to outplay the other, ended up being a close game. No one really outplayed the other. Ended up being more field goals on Tampa's side, and Mac Jones, similar to Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, starting to gain his confidence. As the old folks would say, that boy just starting to smell himself, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, facts. In that game, of course, we're looking at it, and of course, as Pats fans, we didn't. Let's keep it 100. None of us thought we had a chance to beat the Bucks. None of us thought that. We were like, the way they were playing, yeah, you were like, Mac Jones seems to be on the up and rise, but the team around him, he's still a rookie, and plus the team around him is pitiful. It's been pitiful for the past couple years. That's more like we kind of think that Bill created sabotage, let Tom Brady leave, but it's a different topic. But, team's not well built around him, and we're thinking it's somewhat of rebuilding year. So, and with the Tom Brady, with the experience just coming off a Super Bowl, he came off a loss too. It was 2-1, so we're thinking, oh, he's mad. He'll definitely destroy the Pat. And of course, they acted like we expect. They cheered him and appreciated him the 20 years. When he came back, they booed him because, you know, that's what they felt they got to do. Should you boo him? You probably just let him play. But I guess it was sportsmanship. You know, the fans showed that it was more of that. It wasn't really some sports hate because the real people know what he did. So you know what I mean? But it was starting. Of course, we thought it was gonna be a lot of touchdowns from his side, and then Mac was just gonna barely just get by. But he did his thing. But I mean, they did the thing in the second half. But the first half, they were lacking. We know that. We know they were lacking on both sides. The defenses were fierce. Even Bill Belichick, like I said, he still, we're not gonna, even though we'll say his decisions look questionable, especially since Tom left, or even before that, but it's showing since Tom left, but at least he does, to a certain point, still know how to arrange a defense for a person he knows. So they were confusing Tom Brady. I will have to give him that. Tom Brady wasn't looking comfortable accustomed to the room he's usually used to working with. So he was doing that. But the second half, it seemed like they were putting some things together on both sides between Tampa Bay and New England. Now, of course, we looked at the field goal miss. We were like, dang. And people said, oh, he should have gone for it. That's egregious. Bill didn't go for it. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a Bill Belichick lackey. If he does things good, he does them good. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Well, I'll call it down the middle. But that, I understand why he didn't go for it. I can see why some people may have thought, oh, he should go for it. So if he makes it, he burns more time off the clock. Then he kicks the field goal and wins and don't give Tom Brady the ball back. I definitely understand that. But at the same time, You don't know if it's a rookie. You don't know if he makes that fourth down. And people are complaining about the distance. It wasn't the distance. He hooked it. He hooked it. He hooked it right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what was it? Left. He hooked it left. The distance was there, but he just hooked. He just hooked it left to a little bit too far to the left. You know what I mean? So it was just unfortunate. You know what I mean? Because but I feel if he makes that. Does Tom Brady come down and then probably win? Probably he does. But at least but at least he has to, you know, take the points. And then when you take the points and at least give your defense a chance to stop Tom Brady, or at least try to block the field goal, confuse them to miss it. You know, if or when that chance would have come up. Yeah. You know, but once when you missed it completely, all they had to do is nail down, and we all know what happened.
That's great analysis of that game, man. I can't even add anything else to it. I agree. So let's definitely move on to the standings as they are currently, as we are now in week 5. And as y'all know, we have an All-Pro Bros. Do it by the divisions. So starting with the AFC East, you got Buffalo at the top of the AFC East at 3-1. Then you have Miami, New England, and the Jets in a three-way tie at 1-3. And then in the AFC North, Cincinnati and Baltimore and Cleveland are all 3-1, with Pittsburgh at 1-3. In the AFC South, we have Tennessee at 2-2. Then you have Houston and Indianapolis, both at 1-3. And the Jaguars, as stated before, are 0-4. And then in the AFC West, we have a three-way tie with the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders at 3-1. And then the Chiefs are 2-2. And of course, big shout-outs to the ESPN legend, Chris Berman. That's what he used to say when he used to do Sports Center way back when. And then in the NFC East, we got Dallas at 3-1. We have Washington at 2-2, and Philly and the New York Giants both at 1-3. So both New York teams finally won a game this week. So New York can rejoice that the football teams have at least won one game this season. We'll see what happens going forward. Then NFC North, we have Green Bay are at 3-1. The Bears are at 2-2. Minnesota are at 1-3. And Detroit are 0-4. In the NFC South, we have a two-way tie. Tampa and Carolina both at 3-1. The Saints are 2-2, and them dirty birds, the Falcons, are 1-3. And the NFC West, the only undefeated team still in the NFL. We'll see what will happen this coming weekend with Arizona at 4-0. We have the Rams at 3-1 in a two-way tie at 2-2 each, the Seahawks and the 49ers. So that is where the standings are right now in week 5. We're heading into week 5.
It's like finally New York Jets and the New York teams get wins of spending time with me. they finally go off the stop, but there's still a couple of teams that are winless. They'll go for another winless season like they did in 08.
Yeah, and I don't think any team wants to be winless.
Like the fans were.
So if I'm the Detroit Lions, catch up to the New York teams, at least get a win. Oh. Just saying. So
yeah, or the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're both winless, even with their first round quarterbacks.
The Jaguars have a better chance because, as we saw last Thursday, Trevor Lawrence can ball out. He's gaining his confidence. I think they can do better, but we'll see, giving everything going on with them right now. So, yeah.
But how do you have Matt Goff that led the Rams to a Super Bowl against us before losing, and now this dude can't even get a win?
Blame Goff. I'm blaming the pieces around him. And that's kind of been the issue with the Lions on and off. They've had years where they seem decent. For the past few seasons, they haven't been that good. So I'm not blaming golf so much. Sometimes you can be the best athlete on a team in any sport, but you have a bunch of other players in a team sport who aren't doing well, or even if your and specifically the football, if your coaching staff isn't doing that good or aren't that good, doesn't matter how good you are. You're following their lead, trying to produce those things to get results. It doesn't always equal some kind of fruit on the field. You know what I'm saying?
That's facts. That's facts. 100%.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm not blaming Goff. Remember, I thought it was the one. I was the one who thought it was crazy for Goff to get traded for Stafford, right. But it worked out. You know what I'm saying? It worked out for LA.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was saying what I was saying. I wasn't trying to blame him because I felt Matt Goff is a pretty good, or at least a pretty decent QB. That's why I'm like thinking, why they still wouldn't? This makes no sense. But like you said, the pieces around them, just like you can have an upper quarter coming quarterback in America, just like I think our team has, but we're one in three, you know, as it stands right now.
Yeah.
Because the around you and I'm not saying our rookie has been perfect either, because he's made some mistakes and he could improve. He's a rookie, but he's not as bad as our record is. You know, like Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are. And there is some truth to that. It's pretty true, but There's more that goes into what that record, why your record may be that way, whether it's a winning or losing record.
And remember, just like the movie from back in the late 90s, Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Now you could be the best team, but you can end up losing to the worst team, especially late in the season as injuries pile up and as people are tired. So speaking of injuries, let's definitely cover some of the injuries. And Russell, we'll jump in the trades and have you begin that conversation. But for now, let's talk about some of the injuries. So there is plenty of injuries and questionable players after week four was all said and done. One of the major ones was linebacker Shaq Thompson with a foot injury and defensive tackle Cameron Irving with a neck injury. They missed practice this past Wednesday for the Panthers, but the big news was that their star running back, Christian McCaffrey, he was a limited participant with his hamstring injury, but at least he was there nonetheless practicing. He's still questionable for this weekend's upcoming game. Other notable players who were injured over the weekend and had missed practice were for the New York Giants. Among them were safety Jabril Peppers with a hamstring injury and wide receivers Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton, also with hamstring injuries, and tight end Caden Smith with a knee injury. OT Andrew Thomas with a foot injury and defensive lineman Leonard Williams with a knee injury. That's crazy, all on one team. But running back Saquon Barkley was a limited participant with a knee injury, so he's still questionable as well for this Sunday's game for the Giants. Although the Giants won, they left that game all kinds of beat up, which is crazy. And then real quick, looking at the upcoming Bills and Chiefs game and their injuries they had this past week. Bills defensive end Greg Rousseau has a toe injury. Their running back Tywan Jones has a hamstring injury. And their linebacker Matt Milano has a hamstring injury. And he missed practice this Wednesday. Offensive tackle Spencer Brown has a knee injury, along with offensive guard John Feliciano with a concussion. I remember that. And he got hit with that concussion this past Sunday's game. Also, cornerback Dane Jackson has a knee injury. Safety Jordan Poyer has an ankle injury. And cornerback Tre'Davious White has a shoulder injury. Now, there's been a couple of interesting trades. So, Fonz, let the people know what's going on in trade land.
Well, I was mostly following on what's going on our end. I didn't follow all in general of the NFL, you know, because it's still too early for trades in general. But breaking news, Stephon Gilmore is no longer with the Pats. They first put out, and they did, and this is one of the questionable things you gotta ask if you're a Pats fan. And also, I usually side with the player. I don't have a problem with the player getting this money at all. So we ended up, they first put out a press or a tweet saying they released Stephon Gilmore in the morning. It was really trying to avoid trick to really gauge what the interest was. And then, but really,
it wasn't, we found out it wasn't a release, because you're thinking, you're going to release after all this and letting years pass by and you get nothing for it? So, in retrospect, they didn't release him, ended up getting something for him, they ended up getting a sixth-round pick that is 2 years from now, two seasons from now, not next year, but the season after. For it's a sixth round for 2023 draft. Now you look at it, Stephon Gilmore, you can say, oh, he was on a pup list, he was unperforming, he was unable to perform. Was he really hurt, or was he really trying to fish out that contract? I think it's the latter. And then what? You know what? I don't blame him. That was more like a hold-in process, because they asked him early in the season. People didn't really peep the vibes. They asked, oh, would he be ready to go this season? He said, if I have to. What does that really mean? Have to meaning, if you pay me the right dollars, then I'll be able to. But if you're not really paying me, that lingering injury might be lingering. That in week 50 injury I had last year might be lingering to this year. Yeah, you know, still not right yet, Bill. You know what I mean? Not really. Hey, I haven't really got the real motivation. But if the right dollars come on, you know, that leg's starting to feel a little bad. You know what I mean? So we know as Pat fans, we know how Bill operates in terms and the GM said in terms of paying players. And the things that don't say he lets go of players a year too sooner than a year too late, it's not exactly always true. You know, because we could go down to some list of like the Ty Laws and cats like that who – and Rick Sheeran's and people like that he let go, and they still perform well elsewhere. Now there were other people that, of course, he let go a year too soon, and you know, it worked out more often than not. I'll give him that credit, but it's just that there's certain players that you could have still benefited from in the past. Now I hope this doesn't end up biting us, because he looks like one of those guys. Because Stephon Gilmore, 17. It first came in first, it looked kind of, you know, that was the Malcolm Butler year that he didn't put him in the Super Bowl, and but he still was doing his thing. And then because Stephon Gilmore came on the scene, and first it was looking kind of questionable, but then when you let him play man-to-man, you saw the best abilities of him, and that proved out. In 18, he wins the Super Bowl. 19, defensive player of the year. 2020 was looking a little questionable for him, but then again, all of us look questionable. Let's keep it 100. And then, of course, we know what happened. He got injured after week 11 or 12 or whatever. And then, of course, linking it to this year's on the pup list. And then now they ended up trading him. And the thing is that it shows that, to be honest, I don't think Bill, because we know his history, he had no intention of paying Stephon Gilmore. And I'm sorry. If I was not a Pat fan, I'd be like, you get what you deserve. Because you're going to do that and then try to jerk players and then try to go cheap. Like Deion Lewis, the running back we had, he won one Super Bowl with us and then before signing with Jacksonville, he said, I'm going to clean it up. It's a family show. But he said, you go cheap, you get your butt kicked. Of course, we laugh at that because the karma came that they ended up not making the playoffs and we ended up winning the Super Bowl in 2018. And some other things he said about the players there, that wasn't right. If you're gonna go after Bill, not you know your former teammates, but you know, on the short side, yeah, if you do go cheap, eventually it's gonna hit you, especially when you don't have certain prime players to cover up your mistakes anymore. And I'm talking about drafting, because Bill hasn't drafted well in the past few years. Let's just keep it a stack. He hasn't. We're you're a fan of the team, and so am I. Since 2016 and 2015, those drafts have been questionable at best, you know, and then when you don't have certain prime players here anymore, you let them go and you didn't plan well, or you didn't get prime assets for them, it starts to show its head. So you're getting a sixth round pick for Gilmore, and people are looking like, if you weren't going to pay the guy, which people thought a lot of us thought you should, but let's say you weren't going to pay the guy, you could have traded him a couple years ago. When that team was questionable, you know, the last year Brady was here, after that, you could have traded him then, and you would have gotten more for him then, before any type of injury would have happened.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
And he got traded to the Panthers, I just read. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, it was to the Panthers. And I think he's from Rocky Hill, whether North Carolina or something. Like, so yeah, I think he's around that area, too. So I don't know, was doing him a favor on the low, who knows, but you know, he's You know, so and there's no and there was no re-up, like there was no agreement with the Panthers to re-up his contract. So so I think our contenders like, oh, you're not gonna give me the right dollars, then screw it. It is what it is. I'll perform what I'm supposed to perform when after week six. Ended up trading him, and then at the end of the day, you get the sixth round pick. You got something, yes, better than getting nothing, but you got a lot less than what you could have gotten two years ago. And then you were signing back JD. We hear Jamie Collins is coming back on the team for a third time.
Yeah, I heard that too.
You know, so I don't know how good he is now than when he once was with us the first time or even the second time. Because he's gotten older, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I mean, like I said, we'll be lucky if we're a playoff team. We're not having high hopes as a fan of how far the Pats will go. Let's keep it on.
Yeah.
Keep it on. Yeah.
And speaking of trades, Richard Sherman did play in this past Sunday night's game. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, he did play. He did. He was. They did make that trade, and I think he was injured. But then they said, okay, he could start. But then I don't know I don't know if you know the status. If he's healthy, he's still with the Bucks or
he's still with the Bucks. He's still with the Bucks.
Oh, okay. So
yeah. And the situation isn't crazy enough that he's ineligible to play. It's not like Deshaun Watson's case or like other players where it's so crazy. It's like, yeah, you know, you can just sit out the season. It's not like that. So he has counseling and other stuff that he needs to make sure he's right mentally to be able to play the game, provide for his family, and just do life.
Yeah, because he also got charged with some criminal charges too, but there were a bunch of misdemeanors, so it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't nothing that serious.
Yeah, it was in the heat of the moment. He was angry. Not going to repeat the story, but he was angry and he drove up there and tried to break in because he had a beef with a certain family member he wanted to talk to. But as you said, the charges were a misdemeanor. It wasn't like he plotted for weeks, months, and years he was going to do this. It was in a moment. That's why there's sympathy and grace towards him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he admitted to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he'll be able to play. I think, yeah, he'll be able to play for the year for the Bucks at least, and he'll be able to get that settled out of court. That shouldn't be.
Yeah.
That should so, you know, so bad.
Yeah, there was no malice behind what he did. You know, we all have moments as human beings of failure and lapses, but that's why there's grace. So not to start preaching. That's another podcast. So
yeah, if I you back in the early 90s, kid can smash the records and pirate records because they were jerking his pay. And you know what? I kind of feel it when I heard the story. I kind of felt where he was coming from.
Ice Cube as well. When he went and started breaking tables and he was mad.
He was mad.
That was exaggerated in the NWA movie, though, he had said in the interview. So
yeah, he was. It was a little exaggerated, but then again, at the same time, it was funny how he told it. He was like, they were already there. And they saw him with the mat, but didn't really say anything. Oh, I just want to get the sign. Yeah, okay.
let's look at the top 10 power rankings this past week for the QB power rankings. So coming in at number one, Patrick Mahomes sits at the top of the list. And he swapped places with Aaron Rodgers, who was listed as number one last week. And then going down the rest of the list, you have Russell Wilson at number three, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert jumped up two with his impressive win this past Monday. Kyler Murray staying in at number four, 4-0, has been able to jump two spots as well. Josh Allen, 40-0, come on. So he's jumped up a spot as well. Matthew Stafford dropped three places, and Lamar Jackson is number 10 on the list. And speaking of Lamar Jackson, this dude is killing it right now, man. He is the only quarterback right now to have the crazy record of like a high number of running yards and a high number of throwing yards, passing yards rather, in this season. So every game he's adding to that record and he holds it.
He is killing it, but again, and our buddy Red, who's not here right now, he said this time and time again, and I have to agree with him. You know, amongst his some of the bogus things he has, but that's another story. That's my little bro. We love it. We do this all the time, man. Yeah, see him. Shout out to him. But
Well, I mean, one of the few things he says, which I agree with, he said he always shows this in the regular season, but in the playoffs he doesn't come through, and he's right. The only game he won was in the playoffs was last year, and it was in the wild card round. When it came to the divisional round, of course he didn't do well. Stuck stuck it up, running them out. And when times he won the division, went to the divisional round, stuck it up, run them up. He ran them up. So he has to find a way to do this in the playoffs consistently, and especially if he wins and gets a bye week in the division round, he has to go and make sure he goes to the AFC chip game and eventually win that to go to the Super Bowl and perform. He has to find a way to do it. Like someone put a meme, I think, in last year or two. They said they put this funny meme. It was funny, but it was messed up. They said this is because it was a purple car. They said this is Lamar Jackson. This is him in the regular season. They put a Ferrari, a purple Ferrari, and then they said in the postseason they put like a broken down purple Hoopty. I was like, this is so foul. But they can kind of wear lags. So I mean, you got if you want to get that off your jacket, that stayed off your jacket, you got to perform.
Remember what he said last year after he won the wild card game. He had a lot to prove. Though he lost, he was still like he wants to win and go further in the playoffs the upcoming season. So you never know. He's just a better player this regular season alone. So maybe if they make the playoffs, they can actually play better. Because remember, it's not just him. It's the whole entire offense got to step it up. Because the defense is there. It's the offense that's got to show up in the playoffs for the Ravens.
Yeah, they all have to show up. I mean, the defense, like I said, all three, offense, defense, special teams, they like sound like Bill Belichick repeating that, but it's true. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they all got to show up, and especially in the playoffs, they always got to put their best foot forward. And you know, he has to perform. But they have to, and I think it kind of feels like when the playoffs comes, like you know. The better defenses, like and the game slows down, the tape gets shorter. They got the book on you, so the tape is shorter. So they have a lot of your secrets. So you have to know that going into the playoffs, those people, the teams that are left there that are challenging you, you have to assume they do have that book on you. So you have to find a way to, rewrite some of those pages on the fly, going into the playoffs.
Exactly.
To show them something, to show them a new look they haven't seen before, or just the online defending better, or whatever, or all of the above. Because those numbers they put on in the regular season, you want to at least perform somewhat similarly in the playoffs. So you're not just a regular season guy.
Exactly. We'll see. He may or may not prove that this coming playoff season if they continue the trend well. We'll see. There's a lot of football left. As we have the week, especially, which changes everything. So let's look at week 5 in terms of the actual matchups. A lot of good games once again. So first game, Los Angeles and Seattle. That's going to be a good game right there. We have New York and Atlanta, two teams at 1-3. Who's going to be 2-3 at the end of it? We'll see. Then we have Green Bay and Cincinnati. Detroit and Minnesota will be playing, and Detroit's 0-4. Minnesota's 1-3. Will Detroit
be I believe that's a divisional battle.
Will Detroit finally be the ones to get a win and be 1-4, making Minnesota also 1-4? We'll find out. Denver and Pittsburgh will be playing against one another. Miami, who desperately needs a win, is playing against their state rival, so to speak, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I highly doubt they'll beat Tampa Tom and the Tampa Patriots. Then we have New Orleans going up against the ferocious Washington football team. We have Philadelphia and Carolina playing against one another. Tennessee and Jacksonville, New England and Houston, both teams are 1-3. And we're Pats fans. Patriots, get the win. Come on, man.
they should get the win. Then that the Houston's not that good with Deshaun Watson sitting out. But again, you never know. Because they also should have been in Miami too. And they had a chance against Tampa. Like they're 1-3. The only
loss they had that wasn't close was the New Orleans game, and even that they were playing that bad for so long, they made it a game at one point until the defense just couldn't hold them. So again,
like I said, come on, man, to quote the Monday Night Football crew. With all that being said, come on.
Come on, man. It's like you gotta they gotta work on all three sides of the ball too.
So we'll see what happens. Then we got Chicago Bears are playing against Las Vegas. This is going to be one of the biggest challenges for Justin Fields and the Bears so far this season, I would say. Despite the struggles of Las Vegas' last game, they're still a good team. Or maybe they were just exposed this past Monday night and they'll stink it up again. We'll see. Then we have the Cleveland Browns playing against the Los Angeles Chargers. Both of these teams are 3-1. Then we have the New York Giants versus how about them Cowboys, who are 3-1. Will the Giants upset them boys, or will them boys continue the trend in the upper direction this season? We'll see. And then we have the Cardinals, still 4-0 against the 49ers, who are 2-2. Will the Cards lose their first game against Garoppolo, or will they continue to win? We'll see. Then we have the Buffalo Bills against Kansas City. That's going to be a tough game for Kansas because Buffalo has a high-powered defense, but they also have a good offense. They are the definition of what you said, Fonz, working all three sides of the ball really well. Kansas only does about 2 out of 3 really well. We'll see how they fare. And then we got Indianapolis versus Baltimore. And that rounds out the games for this Thursday, Sunday, and Monday of Week 5.
Yes, sir. We shall see.
How are you feeling about this Kansas and Buffalo match, though, man?
That's going to be a great game. And, of course, Buffalo's in our division. So, as Pat is, like, we dominated for so long, and now they're on the up. They said the sun don't shine forever, so, and it can't rain forever for the other team. So you're like, dang, this had to happen. Like, dang. But as a football fan, you like seeing it. You know, you like to see what Buffalo can do. And, you know, they've been on the rise for at least a couple years now. So, so considering that the Pats don't go far, which I don't think they will, Buffalo will be one of those teams to finally go to a chip. Because remember, back in the day, they won the 4 Super Bowls straight and lost all 4. That's crazy. That's going to be sad. You think about it. So if they were to go, whether against Tampa or whoever, could they win this time and get past KC? You know, not just here, but in the regular season, but, you know, in the playoffs, if they were to meet this time, because they last year they fell short, then the time will tell. That will be very interesting. It'd be nice if they would have finally rise above the hump. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be a big we will see. So, yeah, man, that's pretty much it for the NFL news. Since we have a little bit of time left, let's definitely touch on the MLB wild card race, which kicked off Tuesday night with a very good game with the Red Sox and the Yankees, with the Red Sox winning 6-2. What do you have to say about the game, man?
All I had to say was to my Yankee fans in the chat to imitate their radio announcer John Sterling the opposite way. So to say the Yankees win is the Yankees lose. The Yankees lose.
Someone decides to be a troll. The Red Sox showed confidence in pitching with their at-bats. The Yankees struggled, which was interesting. And they just didn't really show up. And they switched out their pitchers 3 times. I remember every single time their manager would come up just shaking his head or shake their hand. I know he really would have been like, get out of here, man, you bum.
As a Red Sox fan, that's what I like to see.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I like to see. Gerrit Cole, yeah, their multi-million dollar pitcher that's supposed to be the ace. This is your king? Really? Is this your king?
None of the pitchers
showed up. You get out the third inning? Really? I was loving it. And, of course, now people say, oh, well, are you going to apologize to Ty Bloom for making lack of moves? No, I'm not. Listen, this is, you just won one wild card game. You were in a pace to win 102 games and win the division and be hosted at all the games. They said you had to win a wild card game just to get in the real playoff divisional tournament, and you're going to be starting just that on the road. So this is, as a Red Sox fan, you want to see the team win, but of course, after, since the trade deadline, you've seen a lot of up and down and more down to begin before you were seeing some ups. This piques my interest. I told someone this before. It somewhat piques my interest. I'm not saying, yes, everything's all set. No. Slow down. This somewhat piques my interest. Now, considering if they could continue the same energy against Tampa, which Tampa's won the season series, so they're not going to be favored. They weren't even favored against the Yankees, even though we won the season series 10-9, but we were leading 10-3, if you remember. We'll see how that goes. If they continue the same energy, then my interest will rise higher, and then that will move me even further. But as of now, I'm not that moved, but so much moved by it, because you won one game. Yes, you're happy they won the game to move on, obviously, as a fan. Yes, but you know, it's piqued my interest. You made me somewhat interested. But let's see how you can, if you continue to, you put that same energy going forward. Exactly. And if you get past Tampa, that's a really big if, then a lot more people will be more invested and say, oh, now to move on to the ALCS now. Let's really see what happens here. But not only just lose, but if you get swept or fall flat in a pathetic performance, you'll be like, eh.
I don't think the Red Sox will get swept. But how would they perform? I don't know which Red Sox are going to show up. It's like what Brad said about Jameis Winston, and even ESPN said that, which Jameis Winston's going to show up. Like, dang, even the big guy just saying it. I'm going to say the same about the Red Sox. I'm still a Red Sox fan to the day I drop, but which Red Sox team will show up? Will this be the confident one who had good at-bats and good pitching in their one-off wild card game against the Yanks? Or will it be that struggle bus team that even struggled in their last week? You know, leading into the wild card game. In fact, even the week before that, they struggled. The last 2 weeks, they struggled with their season. You know,
they got swept by the Yanks.
Yeah, exactly.
They got swept by the very Yankees. Forgive people that put them as the underdogs to win the game. I can't blame them. They got swept at home. So the same home that they played last night. So when people said, "Oh, they were the underdog," I'm like, yeah, I feel you. I can't be mad at that. And so it was up to the Red Sox to prove that they were better than that. It was up to them to prove that. And at least for one night, they did. You know what I'm saying? So, again, like you said, we'll see which Red Sox team shows up. And sees if these playoffs are really motivating them to... We could judge the talent. Are they the first part, half of the season, or the second half? We'll see if they play above. Even if they play it above their head, we'll see how motivated they really are. If the talent will match up as a team.
They play Thursday night at 8. So we'll see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Chris Sale's on the mound now. A lot of us say, "Oh yeah, Chris Sale is back." But he started when he came back. He was looking sharp. But again, look at what schedule he had at the beginning, okay? And then when he started getting to the top of the schedule against the Yanks, yeah, he looked good to start. It was really the fielding that let him down. Then they had to take him out. And then of course we all know what happened there. So it wasn't like he was charged with no decision there. But then when he came back against the same team that was somewhat soft against the Orioles, he lost that game. Even though it wasn't a bad game he pitched, but he after his first couple of few starts, he wasn't looking like the dominant Chris Sale. He hasn't looked bad since he came back, but he wasn't looking as dominant when he first stepped back on the mound. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that tells me that John Scherzer, he hasn't fully, I don't think he's fully healed like he's 100% yet, like we want him to. Maybe next year he may be. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. But hopefully he'll be good enough to give good starting pitcher, and you want to hope that the bats will wake up at the same time, like you said. Both sides of the ball need to perform, and good fielding and good base running, because Well, yeah, I say that as fundamentals because the team has sucked at that all year too, even when they were with them. So.
And tonight's game's going to be the Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals in the other wild card game. And the winner of this game goes on to play an expected team, San Francisco Giants. I'm not a betting man, like money-wise, but if I was, I'm going with the Dodgers. But the Dodgers are similar to the Red Sox, defending champs, but not as good as they could have been this season in terms of their consistency. But we'll see.
Well, the Dodgers, I'm going to say this, though. The Dodgers actually, it was kind of tough luck because they won over, if I'm not correct, they won over 100 games.
They did. But still, the fact that they were in a wild card versus last year, they were just in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, because it just, all that just proves to me is that San Francisco was just better. Because that usually don't see, because when if a team wins 100 plus games, they're very great. Like, the team, when we won the World Series the last time in 2018, we won 108 games. People forget, the Yankees won 100 games that year. That's pretty darn good. If you can win in the high 90s or 100 plus games, you've done very well that season. It just happened to be we were that much stronger. And this is the same episode. This is the same thing here. That Dodgers that won the World Series last year, third time was the charm. And it's the other 2 years that they fell short. They won over 100 games this year. But to say that they're hosting the wild card, that just shows that San Francisco was just that much better in the division. It was just those two, and then the other two teams may have not been so great, so good. So that just shows you the competition that between those two. It was top two heavy.
That's true. Well, here's some of the other games already scheduled in the playoffs. You got the Braves and the Brewers. You already said Tampa Bay, well, Tampa. Then you have the Chicago White Sox. So could have two socks potentially.
We'll see. They're playing the Astros, so yeah, that'll be very interesting. And I have both hats too. Of course, I rep the Red Sox hat. We all Boston teams, obviously, but you know the Sox hat. You know, someone that gave me the old throwback. So hey, that's very interesting.
And real quick, let's look at the WNBA. So they've been balling out, yo, and I'm loving the fact that they're showing the sisters some love. Though there's been a couple of controversies. So if I remember correctly, I think it was Phoenix who won their game against the New York Liberty, by the way. I think right. The stadium they were supposed to play at, I think two nights ago or last or Tuesday night, they got kicked out because Disney on Ice was playing there and no one told them.
I heard something like that. That was foul. I saw the meme on. They showed Diana Taurasi with the yelling like this, you know, like the best LeBron James impression to JR. That's like, that is so foul. I didn't even follow like that, but when I heard that, I was like, that's messed up.
Yeah, that's not cool. Then you had Chicago beating Dallas in the WNBA. Then you had, that's round one. Phoenix won against the New York Liberty in round one. Chicago beat Dallas in round one. Then in round two, which is single elimination as well, similar to round one, Phoenix beat Seattle and Chicago beat Minnesota. And going on currently, it is the semifinals where Chicago is leading 2-1 over Connecticut. Come on, Connecticut. Need y'all to win tonight. Then also tonight, you have Phoenix against Las Vegas. And that is 10 o'clock tonight. So we'll see. Will Connecticut get a win for the New England fans? Hopefully. But we'll see. Yeah. Speaking of local basketball team, do you see the Celtics in their debut preseason game?
They were struggling. It was a struggle shooting performance out there, and they still were able to pull it off.
Yeah, but one point.
But it's preseason. That's what preseason is for. So I just hope that, you know, and again, signing Marcus Smart to that 4-year contract, I just hope they trade him because I'm like, come on, what are you doing, Matthew? I was trying to give you love as a GM. Like, so far you're doing everything different than what Daniel Ainge did. And so I'm like, don't become like him too. Like, don't try to show him loyalty just because, no, Like, it's when it comes to sports, where they say your lawyer is your option. When it comes to sports, not relationships, relationships, you should always be loyal to your significant other. But in sports, your lawyer is your options. Yeah, I agree with that, because the teams ain't showing you, they ain't showing you loyalty when they want to cut or trade you. Then Bumble, why should you? You're loyal to your options. Get your money and do what you got to do. But at the same time, I'm like I said, I usually will side with the player. But at the same time, if I'm as a Celtics fan, but if I'm looking at the GM and know what Mark Smart brings and doesn't bring, and he's still the same thing year after year, I'm like, come on, you're gonna sign him to our max? And I just hope that contract is tradable. That's all I said. That's all I'm saying. But maybe even Udoka can maybe get him to play a different way. Who knows? But I'm not gonna put high hopes in it. But we'll see what happens. The other moves that Brad Stevens made during the offseason, like I said, the Suns are not gonna be world beaters, but if they're in the top, better getting out of just above the playing games and around the top four decently and make some type of run, I'll be happy with that. Now again, of course, I'm not no green teamer in the sense, Celtic fan, but not green team in the sense that, oh yeah, I'll just be happy just to make it. No, because that's what we had with Scammy Ainge years after years. He was deceiving us that we're going to get some pieces, and we never did. I just know realistically that the team is not an NBA Finals team. Now, if this is moves he made that in terms of bettering the team for the immediate future, and then hopefully whether it's this trade deadline or the next season, flipping those moves to get better pieces, for the foreseeable future to make that team a Finals competitor and hopefully a chip competitor to win a couple chips down the line. That's what I'm looking forward to.
But what did they prove us wrong, like they did a couple of seasons ago, and they made it very far into the playoffs just to lose, of course, in the Eastern Conference Finals? What did they pull that off this year and actually do make it deep into the playoffs?
If they make it, they make it. But again, like I said, we made it three out of the last four or five years or whatever. It's like either we flopped in the first or second round, or we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but really it was fool's gold. And so we've seen this act before. So in order for one, yeah, you make it deep in the playoffs, like you said, that would be very interesting. But in order for one to be true, at least the true Celtics to be truly moved, let's see if you're going to make it to the finals this time and actually have a chance to win it. You know what I'm saying? Let's see if you can do that, because we haven't been able to see that for over a decade.
Yeah, it's true. So we'll see. Hopefully they can do well in this season, but I get to get high hopes. But it's still preseason. They're working out the kinks. They got some players back like Cantor and Howard, and they got some new additions. No Bobby Brown. And they kept most of the team the same, which is pretty good. And they have some new players, like I said before. So we will see what happens. And they still might trade people these couple of weeks before the actual season starts. Late October. So we'll see.
Anything's possible, yeah.
Yeah, anything's possible. We're the AD. Yeah. So yo, I think that's a wrap. We'll cover more hockey next time. And yeah, we'll just continue to cover the NFL week in and week out. And yeah, you got more NBA news coming up. I know it's going to be a lot of stuff popping off. There's an elephant in the room, but I don't want to address that today. We'll address that on the upcoming show. You know what I'm talking about. So, with the NBA, we'll leave that alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll leave that alone for today, because most people don't know how to have a civilized conversation around it. We will, though. So, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll be able to talk about it, break it down from a business point, but also at the same time, a moral point of view. Because even no matter how you break it down, it's kind of whack what they're making them do. So
exactly. So, but yeah, I think that's it for the show, y'all. This is your boy Triple.
Nostradamus.
Yeah, man. It's been another episode of the All Pro Bros. Peace.
Peace.